teachings in 2 Peter. And we're in the third chapter of 2 Peter. And last time we were dealing with those who ridicule, who come against the coming of the Lord, what the Word of God has to say about the last days, those that are saying, where is the promise of His coming? And as we have been showing you, that this chapter reveals the ultimate destiny, the punishment of scoffers, those who come against what the Word of God is saying. We again were showing you that we're in the time of the great apostasy, the falling away, and that how God is preserving His people to stand in this hour of ungodliness and unbelief, and those scoffers that would be around us. We've been showing you all of this, and it's down on CD, but we want to take this yet a step further this morning. And we're going to be looking at verses 5, 6 and 7. Maybe move on if the Lord leads. But again, I just want to read these out to remind ourselves. In fact, we'll go again from verse 1 in chapter 3 so that we can just lead into this, so that it's important to understand the context of what the scriptures are telling us. For it says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which to stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." And so it goes on. So we have seen that there will always be those scoffers until Christ returns. And we've shown you that these scoffers are basically, fundamentally, those who mock. And you will find many who will mock such a meeting like this today. And in that mocking, they will feel sorry for you, because you are deluded, you are brainwashed, you are not very educated, you do not come up to the standard that education, politics, society expects. You are to be pitied. That is the spirit that will come against you if you adhere and stand upon the word of God, and that you definitely believe in the second coming, and that you hold to the fact that there was a great flood that destroyed rebellion and ungodliness. All these things that you hold to, that you believe to, that you are influenced by the Holy Spirit, they will mock, they will scoff at you. And Christ has shown us, the Lord shown us, that they will walk after their own lusts. They walk after their own lusts. And it says in verse 5, for this they willingly forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water in the water. So in their lusts, in their scoffing, their mocking, they willfully blind themselves. They are arrogant. They are proud. And in that, they actually willfully refuse to believe what the Word of God says, what God did before the coming of Christ. What God did with regard to revealing His wrath against ungodliness, that is with the flood, and sin, rebellion, with Sodom and Gomorrah. And also, I might add, with the history of the children of Israel. They're all there as warnings. And that's what we need to bear in mind. Now it says they willfully forget. Now, to look into this, we need to know something a little bit about history. This is why, really, this last chapter is historical. Because we need to know a little bit about church history. We need to know about history. And history has its place. And bearing this in mind that they willfully forget, the church has turned a blind eye to the Word of God. That is its sin, if you were to put it into a nutshell. The church, the professing church of Jesus Christ, down through the centuries, has turned a blind eye to the revealed Word and will of God. It's turned away from its warnings. It's turned away from its revelation. It's turned away over the years from what God wants to say to His people. And most certainly with regard to the second coming, it's turned away its message from hell, man's final destiny, if not found in Christ, judgment upon ungodliness. It has failed to proclaim the true message. It's watered it down. Now I know most would be offended by what I have just said, but most churches have failed through the centuries in its proclaiming of the true gospel. It's failed with regard to the teaching of Noah and the flood. It's reduced it to children's books with images of animals going in two by two to the ark. It's reduced it to the flood as almost like going to the swimming pool or going down to the sea for a swim or going on holiday. That's how the image of Noah and the flood is today. Why? Because they scoff at it. The sin on Sodom and Gomorrah. Again, God's wrath burning up that city against uncleanness, ungodliness, immorality. Again, you try and bring that up. You stand for what is right and holy. And they will have you up for political correctness or incorrectness. They will have you up for human rights. And so it goes on. The world deliberately shuts its eye against what the Bible proclaims. And that's the sin of this. And so this morning, I haven't forgotten what this message is called. Bearing that in mind, For those who write notes, it's called "The Heavens and the Earth Are Preserved by God's Word." The heavens, the earth are preserved by God's Word. Now, I state that in the light of what I've just said. Because if God does not preserve, he'll destroy everything by his anger, his wrath. And we saw that, or we see that, with regard to the flood. If God does not preserve, no human being will stand in the last days with what is about to come upon planet Earth. And so it goes on further. It says that they not only willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water. The heavens that were of old. So they reject what people of old said was important. They say that what people said of old, what the prophets said of old, just sensationalism, that's your interpretation. And you have many standing behind pulpits. You have many liberalizers who hold to such facts and theories. That it's impossible, that it didn't happen. And they say the same today. They said it in the time of Noah. When Noah began to speak out that God is going to send a flood in his wrath. Impossible. You're off your head. You're deluded. The same scoffing, the same mocking went on in that day. See, human nature doesn't change, you see. And they say the same today. And not only do they say the same today, but they shut their eyes to it all. They shut their eyes to history. Don't want to know. What I said to the young people, like the ostriches, bury their head in the sand. Don't want to know about that. They didn't want to know in the time of Noah. They didn't want to know in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. The children of Israel didn't want to know that they would be written off. For my spirit and all always will strive with man. They shut their eyes to history. I don't think young people today in their history class are given the history about the flood, are you? Have you ever had in your history class the story of the flood? What happened? No, of course you won't. Shut their eyes to it. Don't want to know. That's sensational. But they not only shut their eyes to all of it, but they also forget the power of God. Why do I say they forget the power of God? Because it says the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of water and in the water. What does this speak of? It speaks of creation. God created. God spoke by the power of his word. And what have we got today that defies that, comes against that? Evolution, Darwinism, defies it, comes against it. They willingly close their eyes to the power of God's word. Is God going to let that go? Is God going to turn his eyes away from that? Oh no. Because what you are dealing with the glory of God. You're dealing with the word of God. You are dealing with the power of God. And man in his scoffing, mocking, thinks he can turn man away from that. But the point, as it says here, as Peter says to these early Christians, it says that the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Held by the very power of God's word. The very power of God's word was in control when the flood came upon the earth. God was still in control of that. You still see the power of God standing there, even though he spoke the word and things came into being, and here God is destroying what he had spoken centuries earlier into being. Was God destroying it all? No. He was still holding it by the power of his word. That is the point. And today, education will try and get you to turn away from that. It tells you not to believe in that. It is divisive. It is frightening. It ministers fear. They deliberately block that teaching to you. The churches, so many of today, block this teaching. They deny God's people this teaching. How is the professing church, as we know it today, how is it going to stand before a holy and righteous God? I pray God's mercy. They willingly remain ignorant. That is the worst kind of sin. That is why Jesus prophesied and spoke the woes of judgment against the Pharisees, the scribes. They willfully, willingly denied him. They closed their eyes to portions of Old Testament prophecy. And in their willingness and blindness, not only were they damned, but they were also feeding it to other people as well. A double woe. Not only where they're going to go, but they also were denying and holding the people down in that willful ignorance. That is why Jesus revealed his anger. That is why he came against them. Don't you feel inside you a stirring up of anger? That you know that goes on? That you know that's deliberate, that the powers of darkness work that. It does in me. And it was that that put Jesus to the cross. Because he stood out and spoke out against that. Because that spirit, that demon, was taking as many as it could with it into eternal hell and judgment. Doesn't that rise up an indignation in you? It should do if you love the truth and the truth sets you free. I'm not saying that that is to rebel and to come against authority. But one cannot remain silent if the opportunity arises in such a case like this. Well, it goes on. It says what we've just read in verse 5, that they willfully forget. They don't want to know, but little do they realize that God created the heavens and the earth, and they still stand by the power of his word. And it says by verse 6, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. So there he gives it. That is what happens. Yet they do not want you to believe that today, these mockers, these scoffers. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So the very power which caused the flood, the very power of God's word that created, will finally destroy those scoffers. The very power that they tell you to deny willfully is the very power that will destroy them. And that God in that day will laugh upon his enemies, those who have scoffed, those who have tried to turn your eyes, your mind away from God's word. And that's why we need to pray for our young people in education today. Because they're filled with all this stuff of evolution. And for them to stand and believe the word of God is a price. Is a price probably you and I, when we were at school, didn't face as much. It was just coming in then. How much more today? So with the same word, he created the world, and with the same word, he will destroy it. Isn't this incredible? The word that God spoke, let there be, and there was, is going to be the same word that he's going to say, let it now be destroyed, what he created. And I might add, that is not just the world, it's not just this planet, for we're told that even the stars are not clean in his sight. He's going to wrap up. It actually, in Hebrew understanding, it's like a book, it's like a scroll, it's going to be rolled up. Rolled up and thrown into the fire. And in that book are millions and billions of chapters of history. Everything that man's done, everything that he's achieved, all the greatest art, seven wonders of the world, all that man has done, all he's achieved, everything building towards a peace, a future, everything will be rolled up at that day and cast into the fire. And what did Solomon say at the end of it? All is vexation of spirit. The wisdom of man. What was he saying? It's all going to be burned up. The whole lot. Everything. Everything that man puts his future in, builds his life for, aims for, a whole lot will be burnt up at the end of the age. You know, God has a way of putting things in perspective in our life. If there's anything that's coming out of these teachings, it's showing us, you know, God's mind and wisdom and plan over everything. And all I have to say is thank God I am simply a sojourner passing through. I am of another world, another kingdom, another time, another destiny. And if there's anything that's really being brought home to me, it is certainly that as I'm studying this. And you know what? I praise God, because that's what the news, good news of the gospel is about. And yet you have got a movement today that believe that they're going to establish this eternal kingdom through their preaching, through their stand, through their outreach, through evangelizing the world and so forth. What folly, what blindness. Because they do not adhere to the scriptures. They willfully turn their eyes away from such scriptures like this. Well, it's not applicable for today. Peter was speaking then to the early Christians. We've moved on. You've got to understand that interpretations are different today as we become more educated. Those days were more medieval. The point is that they fail to see the nature of man has not changed. And I simply have to raise that question, are they eternally saved? That is the point. Because you cannot say such a statement. If you have been forgiven of your sins, and you have seen what sin does, sin opens your eyes to the nature of man. That he's born conceived in such a state and bondage. One has to go right back to the basic fundamentals. Are these people actually eternally saved? Or are they emotionally, religiously just moved? But only God knows that. I thank God that he's never called me to judge that one, but to simply raise the question and discern it in the light of Scripture. But that very power that caused the flood, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, judged, will be the very power, the word that will go against these scoffers, these mockers. Now it's interesting that through the course of history, we have seen how the Holy Spirit works in dividing the godly from the ungodly. And that's really what this is showing us here. How that God preserves. How he preserves the godly in an ungodly age. And you know as well as I do that in this walk we've had experiences where at times we feel as though this ungodliness, this rebellion, the spirit of this age is bringing us right down, is consuming us, is overpowering us. We've all of us in some way have felt that and experienced it. And as we cry out to God to be preserved and kept from its ways, and how it's going. See, God tests us sometimes in this. And all that is the Holy Spirit's work in dividing us from the godly and the ungodly. Dividing the wheat and the tares. And that is what goes on in history. In every generation, as you study history and as you study church history, you will see God's dividing hand working against the godly and the ungodly. And we are seeing in this last generation, this falling away from all standard, what are we beginning to see? We will see a dividing line between light and darkness. You are going to see that happening. And that is the mercy of God. Now, how does God do this? Well, God does this by permitting and allowing the evil to take over for a season on the earth. We are seeing an evil that is creeping now as a paralysis over the earth. It's an evil of control, witchcraft. That is what's taking over. Because that's the nature of Satan, is to control the mind, to control the heart, control the spirit, to blind you, whether politically, socially, morally, ethically, whatever way, these demons work to control, to blind. Why am I saying that? Because an antichrist is to come on the scene soon. And any of these leaders, they control. Hitler controlled. Hitler revealed that he was democratic, fair. Everything was going to be fair for the people to elect, to choose, to decide. That was his message. And you say to yourself, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? That sounds good. That sounds plausible. And look at the end of the result. It was anything but. And it was the powers of darkness to come against God's chosen. And 6.5 million Jews were put to the gas chambers. Much of the world never knew what was going on. How did such powers, how could one person have such powers? And he's not the only one. You can look at these leaders over history. Again, these powers of darkness, influencing, beguiling, seducing. Because man is blind without Christ. Now, why am I saying this? Because through all of this, you will find when God permits and allows these things to happen, that you see a dividing line between the godly and the ungodly. It has to take darkness to reveal light. And light shows the way for the godly. We can't see what we're seeing today unless this darkness that's coming upon the earth, this darkness God is using for this assembly and other assemblies to begin to see the light, as we can't see it properly. So God has a purpose, a plan. If you are saying to yourselves, praise God for what he's showing us. Praise God for the word. What a privilege this is. And I hear this come out of you. It's simply because of darkness that's coming on the face of the earth. And what is it doing? It's dividing between God's people and Satan's. That's it. That's its nature. So as it gets blacker and blacker, we will see more of a remnant being saved. Until it gets so black that in the last days, when it is so wicked, so awful, that even those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. That's its nature. That's the mercy of God. So on one side of it, it's horrendous what's happening. Yet on the other side of the coin, many will be sold. That's where the harvest of souls are going to come out from. From the blackness on the face of the earth. The dividing. That is why we're amongst the world. We move around them. You're amongst the sheep and the goats. The wheat and the tares. You're amongst the godly and the ungodly. We mix with it. We're around it. We see it. We feel it. We know it. And God says, I'm going to divide all of that. Because I'm going to judge. And I will preserve the godly to myself. And the way I do it is by the power of my word. What I promise. That's how he does it. And so as I bring this to its conclusion, we see then that we are preserved by his word because it gives us faith to believe. And it's on the basis of believing. And so as this darkness is taking over the earth for a season, the word of God is now being revealed, being seen. And the power of that word is moving you to believe it. And on the basis of that believing, God says, I will give it to you. I will save you. I will deliver you. I will bless you. I will heal you. I will preserve you. I will answer your prayers. Can you see this? And it's not only that, but it's also staying with what God's giving us. Staying with the power that is behind it. And not running away or going off somewhere else or whatever it would be. One would even have to raise the question, have they really experienced the fact that they're being kept by the power of God's word? Are you not aware in your life, your circumstances, your last trial that you've come through? Have you not been aware that the power of God's word has preserved and kept you?
Amen.
Amen. That's the very same power that spoke the word into being. That's the very same power that is going to destroy the ungodly and those mockers who scoff. God's got this under total, complete control. But we will see this dividing line taking place more and more. And as this dividing line takes place, so we will see persecution. We will see rejection. Men's hearts, the ungodly, will be exposed more. More and more the ugliness, the hate, the demonic oppression will be seen. That's why we're seeing a tremendous demonic manifestation taking place upon the earth. Why are we seeing that? Because as it gets darker, so God's light gets lighter. And so the two are in conflict. And hence the exposure. We're told that when Jesus came upon the earth, he was the light of the world. And that light exposed men's heart. That's why demons were exposed. That's why they cried out, go away, depart from us. You torment us. What were they saying? Because they saw that light that's going to eternally destroy those demons. And men and women had a choice whether to turn away or go with those demons that were in them into a crisis eternity. That's what it's going to come to. Jesus showed us that in part. Now the church, as she's making herself ready, the overcomers, as they're getting ready, purified, purged, what is that going to do in exposing the powers of darkness? This is why, friends, you don't have to work at this. You don't have to plan and scheme what God is doing in you, what he's doing in this church and others as well. That will do it all. That will do it. Why? Because it's all about dividing light and darkness. That's what it's about. That is where the power of God is. And as that is increased and will increase more and more and more, so others will begin then to see God's handiwork upon his people. And that is why a remnant, by the mercy of God, will be saved in these last days. God's got this all under control. Why does it take so long? You say all these things. I've heard what you've said, Pastor. But we're nearly 2,000 years down the line. Why does this take so long? Well, I'm going to close with this because we will look at this next time. But it says in verse 8, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Yeah. So next time, Lord willing, we will not forget that one thing. And again, we shall understand and learn a little more why God has had mercy, why he's delayed, prolonged, because he has a purpose and a plan. But all the while our Heavenly Father prolongs, delays, you, I, and me have a chance. Amen. Father, thank you this morning. Lord, sometimes we're speechless. Sometimes it's like everything is taken out of our sail. It's like, Lord, we've nothing else to say. What can be said? What can be added when God has said it all? And Lord, you've said it all through your word. Only a scoffer, somebody blind, ignorant, could come up and oppose what you say in your word. For indeed you have the words of eternal life. And Lord, I thank you again this morning that you have been present in this meeting. You have blessed us with your presence. You have met every need. You've opened our eyes and ears and heart to receive more. You're opening up the scriptures to us, Father, by the work of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we carry on in this walk, we are aware that darkness is becoming darker and darker. But all that is doing, as you have revealed, is to bring us out into the light. And that we want, Father, because it's the light of your Spirit that is going to do the work. It is the light of your Spirit that is the greater works. It is the light of your Spirit that is the power of God made perfect in weakness. It is the light of your Spirit, Father, speaking the word. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. All we're to do is take it day by day to stay with you, to stay with what you have given us, Father, and to know that you will bring us through because you preserve the godly to yourself. But the ungodly, Father, will perish by the very word that you spoke, the power of your word will be the very word that will destroy and burn them up. Oh Lord, we live in very awesome times. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, as you have shown us. Lord, I thank you that you will be with us through this week. You will preserve and keep us and our young ones. Lord, help us to keep a good confession, not to compromise. Father, if we are tempted by the enemy, Lord, that, Father, you will preserve and keep us. Father, help us to be a witness, not to compromise when called for. Let us be faithful and true to the high calling, for we ask this in Jesus' name.